This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Hour two of the Blitz starts right now. 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Charlie Chance, GP3, and intern Ryan hanging out with you. Josh Heupel, he's live right now. Pretty close to game day. It's Florida Hate Week. We're loving it here. We got top four, bottom four, middle four, bottom four coming up this hour. We're going to continue to look at the Florida game, and I, for one, am fired up.
Yeah, I'm pretty fired up, too. It's a different type of Florida Hate Week than it has been for, like, I'd probably say the last 3 or 4 years, right?
I would say I'm more excited for this Florida game than I have been in a little bit, just because I think we have the kind of offensive system that actually would give us a chance to pull off an upset. You know, not that I'm saying that Tennessee is going to win, or that, you know, we should win, or that we can keep it close or whatever else. But upsets do happen in college football. I mean, we've seen as much as 44.5-point underdogs pull out outright victories in the last 5 years. You know, upsets can happen. Teams that aren't nearly as good as their competition can catch their competition on a good day, on a bad day for them, on a good day for the underdog, and pull off upsets. And you kind of felt like at times under Pruitt that Tennessee wasn't really capable necessarily of springing those kinds of upsets because they didn't have the kind of offense that could score the necessary points. But with Heupel, it feels like, at least going into a game like Florida, that the system, the offense itself, if everything clicks the right way, and if, you know, you don't shoot yourself in the foot on first down and don't have a boatload of penalties, that, you know, maybe, just maybe, you could score enough points to spring some kind of upset. And, you know, I guess it's kind of sad that that's what it's come to with Tennessee and Florida, that we're just excited that we feel like we have a coach capable of maybe having a chance to pull off an upset. But that's where we are, and I am excited about it.
I like how you brought up the points with Josh Heupel being able to score points. SEC Mike had a tweet earlier or later in the week last week talking about Tennessee. I guess it was right after the Tennessee Tech game. The competition has been poor, but Tennessee has scored 128 points following the first three games under Josh Heupel. Nice sign of progress after watching the offense the last several seasons on Rocket Top.
Number one in the country, too, in plays run per minute at 3.08, I believe. Plays per minute, Utah State second at 2.95. You know, I feel like if you looked at these two teams anonymously, Team A and Team B, instead of Florida versus Tennessee, people would be willing to give Tennessee more of a chance, and I think definitely they would be more willing to bet on Tennessee's, you know, a 20.5-point underdog. This is a matchup
down to 18.
It's down to 18. Okay, this is a matchup on paper that looks relatively decent for Tennessee, given, you know, what's transpired this year. You know, I don't know how much stock you can really put into Tennessee's rush defense because the competition obviously hasn't really been there. But, you know, the Tennessee run defense is up there towards the top of the country right now in terms of, you know, win rate at the line of scrimmage, the percentage of runs stuffed, and just in general the totals, they're all towards the top of the country. The defense right now is towards the top of the country, and the expectation obviously is not to stay anywhere near there, but, you know, given Tennessee's decent success, or, you know, success that they've had defending the run against a Florida team whose offense relies mainly on them being able to run the ball, you know, I'd like to think that if you can slow that down a little bit and score some points, that you can at least, you know, put Florida in some mildly stressful situations.
Yeah, the opportunity to upset is there.
I feel that way with Heupel, too. Like, I never, under Pruitt, felt like we were going to be able to upset somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, oh, what, are we going to somehow win a 10-6 football game against Georgia?
Although, I mean, when we did play Georgia and we were leading, what, 17 or 21-17 at half, that did feel pretty good.
Those were the most fun 20 minutes we've had in the
that goal line
in
stop
the last,
on
like,
fourth
6 years.
Oh, man.
I was calling my dad at halftime. Dad, I think we actually might be a good football team.
Although you take away the botch snap on first down or the first play of the game for Georgia.
Oh, man.
I know yesterday we were talking a lot about the quarterback situation, if Hendon Hooker should be the guy getting, you know, most of the reps out there. But as you guys definitely saw what I saw, Joe Milton is going to be starting this game.
Well, Joe Milton was listed as a starter last week, too, before Tech.
Yeah, listed right now.
Very true. I mean, there were multiple reports on Twitter and everything. I mean, that might just be the talk of the town, you know, just Joe Milton's the hot Hollywood boy. But who knows? Does that change anything? If Joe Milton's out there for pretty much until he really messes up? Because it seems like that's the way it might be going.
Again, with Joe Milton, it feels like, you know, he has the highest ceiling. Or I guess the offense has the highest ceiling with Joe Milton.
He's just got to start.
But it
hitting.
Also has, you know, a lower floor with Joe Milton, and it feels like the floor is more likely than the ceiling at this point based on what we've seen. So I don't know. I don't really know how you make that decision if you're Heupel. You know, it's not a decision that I would, you know, want to be in a position to make, but I at least kind of sort of think that Hooker would be the better decision.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. Since we've already established that Florida's secondary is vulnerable, it would be nice if we had a quarterback that we could trust to get the ball in that vicinity. So that's the part that really scares me right here, because I think Hooker might be able to get more of them at this point, but that's just going off the track records of what we've seen.
I don't know. I keep going back and forth. I think Hooker gives you the best shot at stability at the position, but there's just something intriguing about Joe Milton being back there, because it feels like any given play, he can just drop back and sling it 70 yards for a touchdown. Even though he hasn't done it yet, he's overshot everybody, except for the one to Jalin Hyatt, which was a perfect dot and probably one of the best passes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Hyatt bounced his head off the ground. But and then it's all taken away when he missed the wide-open receiver that would have been a touchdown. That was a 20-yard throw.
Since he comes in as an 18-point dog now, you guys are saying. That's what the line's moved to.
Yeah, it's dropped 4 points since it was released.
A lot of people back in the Vols. I'd love to see upset. I just don't know, man. Maybe I change my mind coming in tomorrow, but it just doesn't feel well going in there. And likely change, too, when, after seeing what Florida was able to do versus Alabama. I don't think Tennessee's in the same spectrum. But any given Saturday, they come out, like Charlie said. They have a good game. Florida has a bad game. Catch them on their heels. Catch them in a trap game. That's all you can hope for.
I guess the best way to put it is right now I feel like if Tennessee goes out and plays the best version of their kind of football game and Florida, you know, plays a mediocre football game like we saw them play against USF, or like we saw for, you know, majority parts of that FAU game. Mm-hmm. If they do play a mediocre football game combined with Tennessee's best, you know, Tennessee could win the game. Now, do I think Tennessee will be at their best and Florida will not be at their best? Probably not. But at least you feel like that opportunity is there, and that's not necessarily a feeling that we've had recently. Baby steps.
Baby steps, that's what it is. Well, the Vols will travel to Gainesville. 7 o'clock kickoff. Hopefully it's going to be a good one. Hopefully, I just get anxious around these games, man. Probably hear it in my voice. Just get very anxious around.
I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to eat lunch Thursday or Saturday.
Yeah. Won't be able to eat lunch today. Maybe not be able to eat lunch tomorrow. Maybe you just fast until Tennessee beats a top opponent.
Oh. I would die.
Go full Gandhi.
Full Gandhi. You're going to starve yourself until something for the greater good happens.
I'll be one of those guys. I'll sleep on the roof.
What was the
guy, Tennessee?
The guy who slept on the billboard back in the, was it the late 90s, early 2000s, until we won a game?
Yeah.
You remember, you've heard that story, haven't you?
I would do that here, but I think – I could not work here before Tennessee wins a top 15 football game. It could be 10 years.
No, we got how many chances this year? Florida, actually. Alabama, Ole Miss,
yeah.
Georgia. We got four chances this year.
Infinite possibilities, Charlie. Infinite possibilities. Hey, we'll take a quick timeout. On the other side, we'll do our top four, middle four, bottom four fantasy football draft. And then we'll get into the Thursday night football matchup for tonight between the Panthers and the Houston Texans. Keep it locked here. This is The Blitz, and this is Fan on Radio. Welcome back to The Blitz, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. FM 105.7 AM 1340 up at fanrunradio.com. Click that live link. As always, on the Periscope at Fox Sports Knox. Everybody smile. Hour two smile. On Facebook and on Twitter. But it's time. It's time to play the game. Time to play the game. Top four, middle four, bottom four. Ryan, what were our results from last week?
Last week, Chance, you got the win with 96.3 points. Charlie,
shout out Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry did everything for you. Charlie came in second, highlighted by a nice Matthew Stafford-Nick Chubb connection. Trey came in third with Russell Wilson being almost his entire team. And me, I really was down on my luck with 27 total points coming in last.
You came in last, therefore that's why you had the punishment.
Yep.
Ryan's punishment was punishment with a friend.
Yep.
Yeah, and so he had to come in drag. So he and Charlie will be coming in drag on Monday. Going to push it off to Monday so they can get a nice costume coming here.
It's
on
It's not
best.
Easy.
The vaccine threw us off when we both got sick. It took away our shopping.
Not a
days.
Problem. It'll be even better on Monday after Tennessee has a win in the Swamp.
I've come in third place 2 weeks in a row. Let's see if I can.
Oh, man.
You're playing a dangerous game up
there. There you are. Are you going to take the leap or are you going to take the drop?
I got week one because Heinicke got hurt. Or not Heinicke.
Fitzpatrick
got hurt, and then his team just, I don't know. That was a really bad
team. Should I get some piercings for Monday?
Some piercings?
Maybe pierce the nipples.
Ooh, whoa.
Your septum.
If you want to.
Pierce the belly button.
Get a little Alvin Kamara.
Come in with a little Tennessee crop top.
Pierce the veil.
Cool. I had my lip pierced till it closed up. It was solid. You gotta like the pain, though. You like pain?
I don't mind pain.
Okay.
I have a high tolerance.
Piercings are... somebody's calling me like they don't know I'm doing a radio show. All right. Time to go ahead and get in the bag. Hit us with the music, GP3. I guess I'm up first.
What position would you like to start with, Chancellor?
I'm going
to
start with wide receivers. We started with... tight ends, I think, last
Ryan's
week.
Ryan's going to hand you a hat, and he's fairly confident that they're wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're
who
in
are
here.
Charlie, you're supposed to read us
I
off.
I am supposed to read you off who the wide receivers are. That is correct. Your top four wide receivers this week, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Brown, Justin Jetta Jefferson, and Cooper Kupp, who's emerged as the early
those
wide receiver one.
Yeah.
That's your top four. Your middle four, T. Higgins, Robbie Anderson, Sterling Shepard, and Hollywood Brown. And your bottom four, Darnell Mooney, Mecole Hardman, Jalen Reagor, and Brandon Ayuk.
All right, you got mine. Just one.
If you don't get a top four in this one, I just feel like...
I decided to make a little bit more drastic difference.
I see you did. All right, GP3 is up next. Charlie has his. I have mine. GP3 going to the hat picking... out a name.
Thank you,
Ryan
Charlie.
Has one as well. I guess first up, it's me.
Who did you draw?
Who did I draw?
I drew the smallest piece of paper of all time.
Mecole Hardman.
Oh, buddy. In that Chiefs offense, you always got a chance. Let's see. Jetta. Justin Jefferson.
Who
for your boy?
Jetta?
A lot of people.
Himself.
New? Oh, so yeah, is that something new?
It's like, yeah, it's been a his nickname. Social media handle is like Jay Jettas.
Jay Jettas.
All right. Mecole Hardman, Justin Jefferson.
Cooper Kupp.
Oh.
Solid
oh.
pick.
Oh.
A lot of targets.
And I got.
And they play what, Minnesota this week?
No, they play Tampa. It's going to be a tough game.
Brandon Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk.
Please, Brandon.
Has
please
he done
get a
anything
catch.
He has one catch through 2 weeks.
Yeah. For 6 yards.
All right, next up will be Charlie leading off the second round of picks.
I'm going quarterbacks.
Now, as Charlie passes the hat over to GP, he will come back and tell us who our top quarterbacks are.
Your top quarterbacks of the week, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and one Thomas Brady.
Okay.
Your middle quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, and Derek Carr. And your bottom four quarterbacks, oh, this is a fun one, Jacob Eason, Jacoby Brissett, Davis Mills, and Justin Fields. And if
Fields.
There's a chance that Brett Hundley starts instead of Jacob Eason. So if you draw Jacob Eason, you just get the Colts starting quarterback.
Whoever starts for the Colts.
Whoever starts for fair. The Colts. Okay. Is it fair, though?
Yeah.
Is it? Charlie, go ahead. You're first.
All right, let's unwrap it.
Charlie's quarterback is Jacob Eason.
Oh, no. I got Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
All right, GP.
Lamar Jackson.
Always great.
Yeah. Oh, he has wide receiver one in Lamar Jackson. So
Chance, you go first because I dropped mine.
What?
He's cheating.
I feel like you're cheating.
No, I ain't trying to.
Where did it go?
It was in my hand and I stood up.
All right, we got to count all the names that are left in the hat and do some deductive.
Who do you have?
I've gotten, he even put Tana Thrill. I have Ryan Tana Thrill.
Tana Wheels.
You're playing the Colts. You should have a pretty good game.
He should eat. Now we have to go through the quarterbacks to see who Ryan. How did you lose it?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Found it.
Oh, you want to give me the good word? Please tell me it's someone good.
Looks like it's a good one.
Oh, it's a great one.
You no, I don't like that smile.
You got GV3's guy, Davis Mills.
Ah!
Davis Mills. You got Davis Mills tonight in primetime action.
Oh, man, right into it.
Yeah, I think this is the perfect time for GP3 to tell us what he loves about Davis Mills, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll take a quick break from the game. So, you guys believe that history repeats itself?
Yes.
Generally. Everything's cyclical.
2017, Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. Who came in and replaced him?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, franchise quarterback. 2018, Tyrod Taylor was a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Who came in and replaced him?
One Baker Mayfield.
Franchise quarterback. 2020, Tyrod Taylor was a quarterback for the Chargers.
They messed up his ribs, though.
They shot him in the ribs wrong.
Justin Herbert.
Franchise quarterback. Who's coming in to replace Tyrod Taylor now?
Franchise quarterback Davis Mills.
We'll see.
Hey. It's also what? It's the 20th anniversary of Tom Brady getting to replace Drew Bledsoe too, which I feel like also has some sort of weird juju to it.
Who did I pick?
Yeah.
Tannehill.
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 All right, GP3, tight ends
let's
or
go
running
backs?
That's what Charlie wrote down, Tannehill.
Your running backs, your top four, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Jonathan Taylor, and Aaron Jones. Your middle four, David Montgomery, Chris Carson, Joe Mixon, and Miles Gaskin. And your bottom four, Jamal Williams, Tony Pollard, Kenyon Drake, and Michael
Jamal
Carter.
Jamal Williams didn't even get any carries this past week.
Yeah, he did.
Like three.
He got some carries.
How can he be a
bottom?
It
was tough, though. He definitely underperformed.
He underperformed, but he...
Is he getting carries? I feel like he only got four against
the Packers. He's getting carries.
He had like 14 fantasy points week one.
Yeah, he had a nice rushing
Michael
touchdown.
Michael Carter is your last one.
Oh, the young Jets boy. Okay.
My last?
Yeah, your
okay,
last.
Okay, cool.
All right. First pick.
Jamal Williams.
Go figure. And I got, thank goodness I got someone good. It's Dalvin Cook.
I got Miles Gaskin.
Hey, that's a good match. He's got a good matchup this week.
I got Chris Carson.
Sorry. Who do they play?
I don't remember.
I got the chef this week when it comes to running back.
Who do the Seahawks play this week?
I'm looking.
49ers?
No, the
49ers
play
the Packers on Sunday Night Football. The Seahawks play...
I feel like they play someone weird.
They travel to Minnesota.
Oh. Okay.
Play the Vikes. All right, last one or next to last.
Ryan?
Yeah, so it looks like I'm the tight end man.
And then we'll have flex pick.
So who am I shooting for right here in tight ends?
You have the options. These are our Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, Gronk, and Kyle Pitts in tier one. Your middle tier, Jonnu Smith, Mike Gesicki, Cole Kmet, and Hunter Henry. And your bottom four. Blake Jarwin, Dawson Knox, Jack Doyle, and Tyler Croft.
It's not a good draft for me. You got to put all those back in the same one, right, for flex.
Yep.
Black Hats quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting here. Interesting. I don't feel that confident about my team this week, but whatever.
I liked it up until Jamal Williams.
Ryan, you're up.
All right. All right. Let's see who the first tight end off the board is. And it's Dawson Knox.
Dawson Knox, the Buffalo Bills. I got Hunter Henry. He's a Patriot, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I got Jack Doyle.
Jack Doyle of the Colts.
Okay, well, that's cool.
Oh, my God. To be fair, my guy Jack Doyle.
He turns into, like, Antonio Gates against the Titans.
You know, Jack Doyle's there. He's everywhere.
Not a big fan of Jack Doyle.
I got the one, the only Mike Gesicki.
Dolphins.
Yeah, so I have now the Jacoby Brissett, Mike Gesicki stack.
There you go.
I got to hope that they just get unlimited red zone opportunities that are all just Mike Gesicki.
Who do they play?
The Colts, they play.
No, that's the Dolphins.
Oh, Gesicki, the Dolphins play. Oh, yeah, Brissett and Gesicki. Dolphins play. No, why can't I not find them? Are they playing this week? Dolphins play Raiders. Ooh.
Team Brissecki, baby. Team Brissecki.
All right. Flex.
Flex pick.
Who starts it off?
Chance starts.
Last week's winner.
I think that's all of them.
Give me something good. Give me something good right here.
Tell me something good.
This is going to be a good one, Charlie.
I think you cheated.
This is going to be a good one. This is going to be...
That is going to be Christian McCaffrey.
Oh,
McCaffrey is still available.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have...
AJ Brown. I can feel it.
I'm going to have Aaron Jones in my hand. It's going to be Aaron Jones or it's going to be DeAndre Hopkins.
There are... Ooh. A lot of top four players left because we did not do a very good job drawing these.
All right. Everybody's got one?
Yep.
All right.
Let's go, Chancellor. Come on, baby. Give me Brandon Ayuk.
DeAndre Hopkins. Kenyon Drake.
Oh.
Bummer.
Let's see.
Josh Jacobs might be out.
And the third straight week, I draw a tight end as my flex, this time Jonnu Smith. Me and Ryan both have drawn tight ends as our
flexes. You got Hopkins.
I got Michael Carter.
Michael Carter? Wow, this is some bad
draws. We have bad teams.
I started off so good.
Ryan got Hopkins.
He had to get a top four.
You had to get a top four.
Somebody
law of averages.
I got Gronk, also keeping the tight end flex streak alive.
Yeah, top four, law of averages.
I think that me and Ryan should not be allowed to draw a tight end flex next week. Not actually, but it's getting frustrating.
All right, so I have Hunter Henry, Miko Hardman, Ryan Tannehill, Miles Gaskin, and Kenyon Drake.
It's a mediocre team.
This is a mediocre week for all of us, really.
Yeah. I have Jacoby Brissett, Chris Carson, Justin Jefferson, Mike Gesicki, and Jonnu Smith.
I'm rolling with Cooper Kupp, Lamar Jackson, Jack Doyle, Jamal Williams, and Michael Carter.
Man, I'd much rather have your team with Cooper and Lamar.
They got to save me this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got future franchise QB David Mills.
Davis Mills.
Dalvin Cook. Brandon Ayuk. Dawson Knox. And Rob Gronkowski.
This kind of feels like anyone's week.
Yeah, this is a bare-knuckle brawl week.
Yeah, I'm not too confident on those. Hey, that was top four, middle four, bottom four. It was a doozy, too. It was a doozy. On the other side, we'll talk Thursday night football. Keep it locked here. This is Fan Run Radio. Live here on Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7 AM 1340. Top four, middle four, bottom four, brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel, the sportsbook. Biggest game of week three, followed by tonight's Thursday night matchup, is that Monday night matchup between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys, as you just heard, on top four, middle four, bottom four. I got Miles Gaskin. I'll be watching that one. And FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That's right, new customers, you get 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end your NFL week right by winning $150 on a $5 bet. I love the Eagles in this. I think the Cowboys always choke on national TV as of late. So I'm going to be taking the Eagles.
They, I think they're 0-8 straight up in their last eight primetime games.
Yeah, they're not great on primetime at all. I like the same game parlay in this. I'll probably have a couple players I will pick for any touchdown score, but I'll likely take the money line, too, on the Eagles and Jalen Hurts and company. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons we love betting the NFL on FanDuel, number one rated sportsbook app in America. That's right, in America. Easy to use, safe and secure. So easy, even Charlie can use it. Fast payouts in as little as 24 hours. FanDuel sports betting made simple, and they always hook you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself, though, why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code BLITZ this week before Dallas takes on the Eagles. You can win $150 on a $5 bet, new users. Remember to use promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you. Exclusively only on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. As always, kiddos, you must be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit is required. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users for field and site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after the receipt. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Before we go any further and talk about this Thursday night matchup, Charlie does have some breaking news. GP3, hit us with the long one. And we'll go over to the breaking news desk. Charlie Collier, you're up.
Josh Heupel is speaking with the media as we speak currently. And he just updated us on the key status for or the status of some key players, notably Cooper Mays. Quote, I anticipate Cooper Mays being back with us this weekend and Jerome sliding back over to left guard.
Love it.
So the offensive line going to be back at full strength this weekend. Still waiting to hear more about Juwan Mitchell. He, quote, has seen some grass this week, but we'll have to evaluate him as we get closer to the game, which doesn't sound great. As for Joe Milton, I do not have an update on Joe Milton. We'll see where Juwan Mitchell is tomorrow. Other guys who missed last week should be okay. The fact that it's still unknown if Joe Milton is even available, to me, now feels more like we will see a Hendon Hooker start than it even did previously.
Or they're just trying to not give Florida that any advantage.
They don't know who to prepare for.
Absolutely. Want to keep a wild card out there so Florida kind of scrambles on who they are preparing for in Saturday's game. But I kind of lean towards Charlie, too. I think Hendon Hooker's going to start. We talked about it yesterday. I think you should start Hendon Hooker. I think that he will start. But exciting that Cooper Mays is going to be back out there. That's
you need
huge.
It. I mean, you need it. This offensive line has failed to get a push consistently. Now, the pass blocking has been pretty solid. I mean, at least relative to the expectations. But, you know, the run blocking, the ability to get a hat on a hat, the ability for our pulling guards, for our pulling tackles to contact and cover up the correct people, those have all been issues. The double teams and being able to hand those off properly and work up to the next level, that's been an issue. And, you know, I have a lot of belief in the offensive line coach, Coach Ellerby. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's talent within this offensive line, but it's a generally inexperienced group. You have some younger players. And, you know, to be honest, there's not necessarily an SEC level of talent across that offensive line either. But they're going to have to get better. And hopefully Cooper Mays helps, you know, bring them to a better point as a unit. And it can't be underestimated either how important it is to have your leader at center back going into a hostile environment where, you know, moving with a faster tempo gets exponentially harder because of that crowd noise. You know, you're going to need a guy like Cooper Mays to be in there and communicate well and be able to lead that offensive line and, you know, see blitzers coming and call out protections. So that'll be good to have too. I think that's, you know, an underrated advantage of him being back as well. The communication improves.
I agree with you. The communication of pointing out the blitzers, and I would even say their pace of play on offense, like you said, like just being able to go fast. I don't think that it was that much more noticeable with Jerome out there in place of Cooper, but that first game is like they were going a lot faster when they had Cooper Mays in the fold.
Well, and then you look at the penalties too. In the first game without Cooper Mays as your starter against Pitt, penalties, you know, more than likely cost you the game. And a lot of them were pre-snap. A lot of them were the offensive line. And, you know, hopefully that's where getting, again, your starting center back, your communicator, your captain, so to speak, of the offensive line to an extent, your quarterback of the offensive line, getting him back, hopefully, at least, hopefully helps you.
Yeah, absolutely. That is great news. That is great news that Cooper Mays will be back out there with the boys. Love to see it. Love to see it. I mean, like you were talking about, as far as quarterback goes, maybe he's just keeping it hush-hush, close to the vest, or you see Hendon Hooker.
Really, really hoping that Juwan Mitchell is able to play, though. You know, we talk about how good that defense has been, especially against the run, and having Juwan Mitchell is important to that. Now, you know, is it as big of a loss as you can have on the team? No, it's not close to that, because Jeremy Banks has played some really good football this year, and guys like Solon Page and guys like
have stepped up.
Aaron Beasley and Aaron Willis, or Aaron Beasley. That's the Aaron that stepped up.
Yeah, Aaron Willis hasn't played.
Yeah, my bad. Aaron Beasley. Aaron Beasley and Solon Page have both stepped up. They've played well and when filling in. Again, Jeremy Banks has been good. And the linebackers, too, your down linebackers, your edge rushers, your outside linebackers, whatever you want to call them within this multiple defense, you know, they've been surprisingly deep, and they've played well, too. So, you know, I think the loss of Juwan Mitchell wouldn't be as bad as the loss of a lot of other players, but you would love to have him as well.
Speaking of Tennessee Vols football, some that I touched on earlier in the first hour teased it, never really got to, but there's been a lot of people up in arms over Tennessee canceling this game with Army, including one Paul Feinbaum, who took to his show yesterday. Quote, "I think it's pathetic. First of all, whenever you play a service academy, I think it's a tribute to your institution and it shows great respect for them. And if you don't feel confident enough to beat a program like Army, then your program's in a world of hurt. So I didn't realize that, and I'm glad you told me, and I don't want to see a game against Akron. It's a waste of time." Now, for those of you who don't know, the schedule came out yesterday. Tennessee did axe that game against Army, but that was the process had begun under former athletic director Philip Fulmer and former football coach Jeremy Pruitt. And they rescheduled Akron instead, where they will see a net loss of $100,000 after paying Akron and paying Army a buyout for not playing the game. And the game was originally scheduled under former AD Dave Hart in 2016. Paul, you guys see that big of a – I think it's – but there's a lot of people, too, like online. They were like, oh, you're not going to play one of the – like, you know, I want to see
– people. I mean, people
Army,
call
like,
it cowardly, but – I no, call it smart. It is
smart.
A logical decision. Paul,
one, it's a big upset game. Two, have you seen how triple option teams take out your own team?
How many injuries did we have when we played Georgia Tech?
Yeah, like the chop blocks, man.
Okay, so basically
– cut blocks.
It's a logical decision. It is absolutely the right move. Paul, complain all you want, dude.
He's looking
go
for
kick
clicks.
Rocks. Go kick rocks, Paul. I love you, but go kick rocks.
This show's been on the decline now for –
Does anybody even care about the Feinbaum show anymore?
I haven't watched or listened to
Feinbaum
for
like
since
big
2016.
Unless they have like big mouth breathers that like just like they
let's,
go
let's
like all
oh,
the Bama
let's not,
fans.
Let's not turn this into like a whole Paul Feinbaum slander.
No,
but anyway,
I'm saying that. But I'm
well,
saying
back,
like what you're
hold
saying.
Hold on, back to the topic though. Back to the topic though. Getting rid of the Army game is absolutely the right move. You know, it was scheduled under a previous administration, previous
two
coaches. You know, two prior, and. You know, it's a week of practice that is meaningful early in the season with still a newer head coach that is very valuable to where you're trying to grow your team as a football program. And instead, that entire week of practice would have to be dedicated to learning how to stop the triple option. And that takes that away that week of meaningful practice that you'd have otherwise that, You know, against Akron, yeah, you're going to game plan for Akron, but you're not going to have to spend all the time that you would to stop the triple option.
And
furthermore,
that game is before Florida. It's
right.
The game before Florida.
Furthermore, again, their physical style of play in the system that they run leads you to be more susceptible to injuries. Why would you want that in a non-conference game? Again, that's a bad risk to take. And furthermore, let's not kid ourselves. Army is a very capable Group of Five football team that could absolutely beat Tennessee in the right situation. And we know how much a loss to a Group of Five team can derail a coach's tenure in their second year. Why would you ever take that risk? Army is the kind of team that can beat you. Okay. Get them off the schedule then. You know, that's an unnecessary risk to take. Take your easy win in the non-conference. There's no reason for where we're at as a program to challenge ourselves with a team like Army. You're going to be challenged plenty in your 8-game SEC schedule. Take your free ones where they come and don't put yourself at risk to derail the rest of your season. I mean, those are just three reasons, but there are countless reasons why you should have canceled this game. And yes, you know, does it feel kind of cowardly? Sure. And is it kind of disappointing that it was a military school? Yeah. But it is what it is. That's the nature of football. We're not the first team to cancel a game, especially not the first team to cancel a game with Army. And we won't be the last. So if you're upset about it, get over yourself.
All right, time to end the show with a little Florida man story, Florida hate week. Charlie, take it over.
Chancellor, let me take you down to Isla Morada, Florida. Where is that, you might ask?
Where is that?
Down in the Florida Keys.
Okay.
Where all the crazy stuff is happening.
I was going to say, like, I don't know.
Where authorities say a Florida Keys man has been arrested for writing and harassing manatees. That's right. A Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission report says 47-year-old James Massengale Jr. was arrested Friday after witnesses saw him touching two adult manatees and their calves around Isla Morada Library Beach. Yeah, that's weird. I'm also mispronouncing this, is what people were telling me. I don't know how it's pronounced, but we're just going to continue to say Isla Morada. I think I haven't even said it the same way three times yet. But the report says that Massengale, a homeless, self-described student preacher in Key Largo, told witnesses he was just riding the animals. Massengale was arrested and charged with molesting a manatee after saying he would not report to court and asked to go to jail. He is currently being held at Monroe County Jail at $25,000 bail. I guess it's a pretty steep price if you want to touch some manatees inappropriately. But jail records did not list an attorney for him.
Huge animals?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They are pretty big. They're also endangered. They are.
I would say they're like an endangered species, right?
Yeah.
Protect them.
Protect them, please, from homeless student preacher James Massengale Jr., who is touching them inappropriately. Molestation of a manatee, I think, is something that you will only find in Florida. It is Isla Morada. Isla Morada, Florida.
He took it upon himself to repopulate the manatees.
He's just doing God's work.
It's so weird. I don't even know how you would get close enough to a manatee to...
I mean, like, with permission, I think it would be a lot of fun to, like, ride a manatee or just, like, swim with
you
them.
You can swim with them, yeah.
I don't want to get all touchy with the baby manatees. Feeling them up.
How did they catch Florida? Like, who was monitoring this guy to find out that he was doing this?
It was a wildlife and nature preserve officer. But imagine just, like, you know, I feel like it's probably just a pretty happy life being a wildlife reserve officer down in the Florida Keys. You know, it's just chill people drinking their beer and hanging out and nice little vibes. And, you know, you get your morning cup of coffee, your donut, and you're riding around and then... You gotta look twice in the water. Oh my, is that an old homeless man diddling manatees? Good gracious. That's North Florida stuff. That's Gainesville stuff. You know, that's Panhandle stuff. We don't touch manatees down in the Keys.
It's just another day in Florida.
But today you do. James Massengale Jr., what a guy. in all the worst possible ways.
Pretty horrible guy. Pretty, where'd you? That was a good one. That was a good one. Manatees.
Betty's a Florida fan.
Likely.
Betty's not the first Florida fan that did Ole Manatee.
That I believe.
Okay. All right. Thursday night football. Who you guys got? Go around the table. Texans and the Panthers. Ryan.
I got the Panthers, but I guess I'm rooting for Davis Mills as well. But go Panthers.
I'm taking Panthers, and I'm going to take the points. Panthers minus -8.
I told y'all, don't sleep on the Panthers now. They lost, what, 9-1 possession games last year? All they needed to do was get a little bit better.
You also told us the Falcons were going to win that division.
Yeah.
And they were a three. They were just little trailing by only three going into the fourth against the Bucks. We'll see.
And then they threw two pick sixes.
We'll see what happens the rest of the way. But Zach Wilson is better than Justin Fields.
Don't sleep on the he has been better than Justin Fields, probably. I mean, at least neither of them have been good.
Fields gets his first start this week. We'll see.
We'll see. Terrible place for him to get his first start. He's going to get killed.
Yeah, it's the Browns, right?
Yeah.
It's bad. Not good, Clark. Charlie, who you got?
The Panthers.
The Panthers.
You taking the points?
I haven't decided yet.
I'm taking the Panthers and the over. I had the over on my phone, but
I think it was at 40.
Yeah, let's see what it is.
Three
right
and a
now.
Half.
Checking with our friends over at FanDuel. But yeah, I just don't think that. Yeah, 43.5. You are correct, according to our friends at FanDuel. So I don't think that Texas will have enough to close it out. Look for Mark Ingram, see what he's done. He's kind of had a resurgence there in Houston. He's been solid on some fantasy waves. But Sam Darnold, Robbie Anderson, Christian McCaffrey, I think they're just going to be too much.
Don't forget about good old DJ Moore.
DJ Moore as well. DJ Moore as well. Is this the DJ Moore game tonight?
It was last week. He had like 70 yards for a touchdown.
You've been hyping up DJ Moore. Is he on your fantasy team?
On a couple.
Do we play this week?
Yeah, but you're going to be safe from DJ Moore this week.
I'm going to be safe from DJ Moore. I don't have to worry about him, huh? All right, great show by us. If I do say so myself, hour number one is already up. Hour number two will be up as soon as we get off the air here. Catch that over at SoundCloud.
I need my days.
iTunes. Make sure you go ahead and download that. Subscribe. Leave us a review. Give us some stars. If you leave less than 5 stars, then we are inclined to think you are a big, fat hater. But outside of that, let's go ahead and get to National Calendar Days as we get out of here. Talk Sports in the building. They'll have you covered from noon until 3, followed by the Drive 3 until 6. 6 to 8 will be Overtime with Will shutting it down. Today's National Calendar Days. It's National Great American Pot Pie Day, National Snack Stick Day, National Teal Talk Day, National Checkers Day, and Dogs and Politics Day. I don't know why that's together.
Dogs and politics. Dogs in politics.
In politics.
Wasn't there like a golden retriever that was a mayor somewhere in like Oklahoma or something?
I thought it was like Minnesota.
Minnesota.
It's Energize Day, Restless Legs Awareness Day. That's a good one. Restless legs.
I have restless legs. More it's awareness. Awful. I need people to be aware.
And it's Celebrate Bisexuality Day. Shout out to all our friends, LGBTQ+. Hey, but next up, Talk Sports got you covered. Keep it locked here for Charlie, for GP3, for Ryan. I'm Chance. We'll do it all again tomorrow on Game Day Eve right here on The Blitz.